Hey, before we get started today, I just want to say a couple of things. You know, we talk about pastor appreciation, and that's really good, and we do appreciate it, and we feel appreciated by you. But to be totally honest with you, like, I love doing this. Like, this is not one of those things that's, like, really hard as far as something I dread getting up and going to every day, that it's some kind of big sacrifice to come in here day in and day out. Like, it's not that. This is something I really do love to do. I love pastoring. I have a friend of mine the other day. He's in a denomination, and his denomination was doing some kind of vote for some kind of political office in their denomination. And he and I were talking, and he said, "Yeah, I'm being nominated for this position, but I'm trying to decide, do I want to take the position or do I want to keep being a pastor?" And I was just like, why would you ever not want to pastor? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me why you would want to go do something else besides pastor. I absolutely love this. And we're going to share today, if you haven't been with us since last October, every October on Pastor Appreciation, Perry and I share together. So you'll get to hear from Perry today. It'll be a little bit different. She's a lot prettier than I am, so a lot easier on the eyes to listen to and watch. But a couple of things I do want to mention before we get into the message today. Can I just share one quick pet peeve? I've just told you how much I love pastoring. I love pastoring you. But can I tell you one thing that some of you do that kind of drives me a little bit crazy and maybe we could fix? Can I do that? Okay. Especially for Jay. Listen, this is not my church. Okay. This is not Gabriel's church. This is our church. And it drives me nuts whenever some of you will come up to me and they'll say, "Yeah, we vacuumed the foyer of your church." And I'm like, "No, you vacuum the foyer of your church. We're all in this together. I just happen to be the guy with the microphone most of the time." Okay? So we all share the responsibility. We all work together to make this thing happen. So can you please, from now on, let's call this our church, or you can say my church, but don't point at me and say it's his church. Okay? Can we do that? Thank you so much. That's all the chastisement you get for today. The rest will be all easy. A couple of things that we want to do is, before we jump into the word, we want to just share a couple of highlights from our year, because I think it's good, especially when you hear from Perry, to hear some of the highlights of our year. And we also will share some of the challenges of our year. We just want to kind of touch base with you guys and let you guys in. The message today, we always call this Welcome to Our World, as you see behind us. We just want to kind of open up the door a little bit. I think we're pretty open people most of the time. Sometimes I get in trouble because I'm a little bit too open from the stage. So I don't feel like we hide very much from anybody, but we do want to open the door, pull back the curtain, whatever you want to say, to our lives, so you guys kind of see some of the stuff going on with us. So, Perry, why don't you share some of the highlights as far as our family
goes? We were talking about this, and I feel like my whole life is a highlight. Like, I mean, we've had some down times, but we're just so blessed. But in particular, there's a few things, big events that have happened in our personal family this year, and one of ours is our oldest son graduated high school. That was a big event. He made it. Another big event is Emma turned 16. She's almost 17 now. That's another big event, so she's on the road. And all you older people that have had children already grow up, you've been holding out on me because you did not warn me that all these things, like, happen at the same time, you know, and it's kind of stressful. But anyway, those are two, I think, personally for a mom, big events, you know, and I'm just thankful that we're just so blessed with our family. But
yep. As far as the church goes, we've had some, I wrote down a couple of things that I thought were fun or highlights for us. One of them is, again, going back to the pastoring thing. I've had this happen a couple of times. I'm going to use him as an example. I know he's watching online, but one of our members here, his name is Oscar. I'm using him as an example, but multiple of you have done the same thing to me, and I love it. But one day, Oscar came in the church, and I was we were doing gym, and so I was coaching, and he said, "Are you coaching the next class?" I said, "No." He said, "Can I meet with you?" And I was like, "Sure." And I thought, okay, here we go. You know, like, I'm in trouble. I've done something wrong. Somebody's got a complaint or whatever the case is. Most pastors think that when no one, if you don't tell us what you want to meet with us about, we always think something's bad. And so we go sit down in the office and he pulls out his Bible reading plan. He's like, hey, will you help me with this Bible reading plan? Try to figure this stuff out. And I mean, it was like my whole heart just swole up, you know, like the Grinch when his little bitty heart gets really big. I absolutely love that. And this year in particular, I've probably had four or five people, maybe more, that have come to me just wanting help reading the Bible. And I don't know how that translates to your business or to your life, but that's one of those things for me is a highlight. Like, I love when people just want to, let's just talk about the Bible, just help me understand. That was a big highlight. For our church, we did our first missions trip. Foreign missions trip. That was this year. That was a lot of fun. Those of you that went on that missions trip, I know you guys had a blast. We really enjoyed that. Another thing that's been a highlight for me this year is just, I was telling some guys, and we'll probably get into this on some of the other stuff that we talk about today, but learning to believe God for the impossible. There's been some things that we've gone through as a church, or me in particular as a pastor, where God has just kind of pushed me to this place to stop just believing for the probable and stop just believing for the what might happen and really start believing God for the impossible. And so I think that's a place for me that's been a highlight, a learning curve in my life for this year. So I think that's been a lot of fun. Challenges. What have been the challenges?
So the biggest challenge I feel like for our family was Colt when he had a little spell of meningitis. That was definitely a push for us to trust the Lord.
And by little spell, he was in the hospital for a week.
Yeah,
so
that was pretty rough.
Quite a spell.
But we had peace through the whole mm-hmm. situation, so we were thankful for that. And I was thinking, the other challenges was getting my oldest son through high school and Emma driving a car. So, like, my highlights were also my biggest challenges this year. So, but anyway, that's all.
And I think for me, one of the challenges, we've talked about this a lot, like you guys know, and Perry and I talked about this even this week in leading up to this, and she's like, how much of that do you think you need to share? Because I don't want people to think bad of us. I don't want people to think that we're, you know, we're struggling or we're dying. But I've told you guys about all the different things that have happened throughout the year. My vehicle happened to fix it like five times. I think I could have bought the vehicle again for the amount of money I've put into it. And then it just has felt like everything has happened this year for us financially. It all has happened at the same time. You know, I wanted to share that. And Perry said, should you share that? Because it sounds like we're going broke or we're needing more money. And we don't. We're fine. It's just one of those things. Because I told her, I said, listen, if we're dealing with that, there's quite a few people in our congregation and our church family that are dealing with the same thing. We all have those moments where you feel like every bill comes due at the same time. We just had, it was one of those things, you got to fix a car and you got a mission trip to pay for. And then the tax man comes. And then all of a sudden, my nephew gets married. And when he's getting married, he decides to get married in Colorado. And he decides to get married in Colorado at like the smallest town in Colorado. So you don't just get to fly into Denver, which would have been a lot cheaper. You got to fly into Durango, Colorado, which is not cheap at all, by the way. And so only two of you get to go. You know, it's just one of those kind of things. It's like all of a sudden everything begins to pile on. And so while that's been a challenge for us, the challenge has not been in scrounging up the money. The challenge has been in just trusting God to provide. And I think that's a challenge for all of us, right? How many of you, if you raised your hand and you were honest, would say, I have to trust God to provide sometimes? Like, there's times, yeah, absolutely, we all do. And that translates over into the church as well. We, Perry and I were talking again about this. She's like, be careful what you share.
You know, you can kind of cross the line where it's like TMI sometimes, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I usually don't get to be up here, you know, filter. So
usually you're down there telling me this, and now you're here and I can't see you. But even as a church, you know, we're facing the challenge. And I know today's a little bit easier day on our crowd because it's a holiday weekend. We'll have a lot of people out, but we still face the challenge every Sunday of what to do with all those kids as they begin to pile up in the back. And then you people keep getting pregnant. And I don't know why you do that. But you do that. And so we've got this challenge that we face. And so even in that, some behind the scenes stuff, like as far as our church is concerned, like I've been pursuing, I've been looking, I've been trying to figure out, can we build a building? Can we go to two services? Can we find another building and purchase it? Like, what can we do as a church? And throughout this whole process, we've had some highs and lows of challenges of, you know, possibly getting another building and then the rug getting pulled out from underneath us, and then possibly having that opportunity again and then the rug getting pulled out from underneath us. And so it's one of those things. We didn't bring that to you because we didn't want to get anybody's hopes up for the inevitable crash. But it's one of those things for us that we've been working through as a staff, as a leadership team here at the church, where it's kind of forced us to really, again, believe God for the impossible. It's really pushed us in our faith to grow in that area. But it's been a challenge waiting, because there's a lot of times I want to just put my hands on it. I want to get in there and do something about it. And God keeps saying, just wait, just wait, just let me work in the shadows. And I don't want to let God work in the shadows, right? I want to work in the light. Let's get it over with. And God says, no, you're going to have to wait. And so that brings us to the point of today's message. In all of that, One of the devotions that we got, my mom, we were at staff meeting one day, and my mom had sent me this devotion, and we talked about this. And the devotion was titled "Wait Well," that you have to learn how to wait well. And so when Perry and I were discussing what do we want to talk about today, we felt like today's message should be wait well, because that's something that God's teaching us this year, is learning how to wait well. Learning how to wait on His provision, learning how to wait on His presence, learning how to wait on what He wants to do in our lives versus what we want to do in our lives. And waiting is a hard thing. For humans, it's very hard. And if you say that you're really good at waiting, I challenge you today on your way home, get behind somebody at a red light and watch that light turn green. And how fast do you start honking, screaming, or cussing for that person to get out of your way? Right? If the light turns green and then they move and you've already started saying stuff in your brain, you don't wait well, right? There's a patience thing that we struggle with. And so we struggle with waiting. Look around whenever you're in the doctor's office from now on, and look around the room at all the people waiting to go see the doctor, and how many people are very impatient, right? And what do? We got to get our phones out. We got to get our device. We got to do something because we have no ability to wait. I saw a study that said that today's human has the attention span of a goldfish. And so we really struggle when it comes to waiting. And if we struggle waiting on someone to move at a green light, how much more will we struggle whenever we're waiting on God to do something big in our life? When we're waiting on God to fulfill a promise in our life. And so today we want to talk about how to wait well. And we've got four different aspects of waiting well. So if you want to take notes today, that's great. If you don't take notes, but you want to get these later, because Perry's going to talk about some verses, then we'll provide these for you later. But Perry's going to start us off.
Yes, and I would encourage you, jot down even just the references of these verses. It'll come up in a point later. But just to have them for when, or if you are already in a season of waiting, that you will have the Word of God that you can pull from quickly. The first point is pursue through prayer. In Matthew 7:7 says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I think a lot of times we, as humans, we just want it after we ask for the first time. You know, the first time we ask God for something, we just expect for Him to answer right then and now. But that scripture says to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Something I was thinking about when we were kind of prepping for this, I said that God will always answer your prayers. That's written in scripture. He will always answer it. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is yes, but not now. And sometimes the answer is no, but He has a plan for you. One thing is kind of cool. Yesterday I was reading my daily Bible reading, and some of you are doing like the Bible recap, but something in the commentary after was this quote, and it said, God will either give us what we ask for in prayer, or He will give us what we would have asked for if we knew everything that He knows. And I think that is so powerful, because sometimes, you know, we want God, give me exactly what I'm asking for. And sometimes He really will, exactly what you've asked for. And sometimes He's got a bigger plan and purpose. And he knows that if we knew the whole thing, if we could see the whole picture, He would give us that instead.
I'm going to try to bring out one character from the Bible, one person from the Bible that I think can help teach us these points. And the person that I think can mentor us on this point is a lady named Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah is barren. She can't have kids, but she's in a polygamous marriage. She's got another sister wife, I guess is what you call it. And she's got kids, you know, all over the place. And so here Hannah is wishing she could have kids, but she's got this other lady in her house that has a whole bunch of kids. And so the Bible says in verse 10 of 1 Samuel 1, it says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And it just strikes me this idea that really whenever we're in this period of waiting, and how do you wait well, and you got to wait through prayer. Hannah waited through prayer. Even her prayers were bitter cries to the Lord. And that's something I think you need to hear, is that sometimes we think we've got to be all polished and nice and neat in our prayer life, and God's big enough to handle our bitter cries. God's big enough to handle our anguish. And I think we just go to God with everything that we have, with the raw emotion of who we are, and we dump everything out before Him. But He wants us to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and Hannah just keeps coming back, and she just keeps praying. And a cool part, I don't have to read the whole thing, but in a few verses later, in 17 through 20, the priest at the time looks over, he sees Hannah praying, and he begins to talk to her about it. And as he talks to her, she explains what she's praying about. And he says this in verse 17, he says, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of Him." Verse 18, "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaims. Then she went back to eat again, and she was no longer sad. I think it's really cool that this woman is going from this place of waiting, and the waiting has kind of made her sad. And she begins to pray. And the guy doesn't even say, "It's going to happen. You're going to have a baby in 9 months. His name's going to be Samuel." He just says, "May God bless you. Like, let God do this work in you." And it's like at that point, a flip is switch. Switch is flip. Swip. Something happens. She turns a light on in her brain. How about that? And she just begins to trust God. And the Bible says she's not sad anymore. And then verse 19 says that the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord. Like, they just keep pursuing. Here they are. The whole family is affected by one person's anguish. And the Bible says they just keep pursuing God. They just keep worshiping God. They just go right back into it. And I think what we do sometimes is we get in this waiting period and we're in this kind of anguish. And so what do? We begin to shut some things down. Well, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to go to small group. I'm not going to hang out with the people that can bless me. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to worship. And we begin to set all of these boundaries. And we think we're setting boundaries for disappointment. We're setting boundaries to keep us from people. But really, we're setting boundaries against God. And God wants to do a work in your life. And you can't put up boundaries with Him. So you keep pursuing Him. You don't get sad. You get up the next day and you go back to worship. And you get up the next day and you go back to worship. And you just keep moving forward with God. And a good example of that, when we were in Guatemala, I shared this story before, but some of you are new, so I get to share it again. We're in Guatemala and we got this truck in the middle of our work area where we're trying to build this church, and the truck is stuck. And we can't get it out. I mean, we're trying to dig holes and put rocks in. And we've done all the things that we know to do. We get all these big, strong guys that are on our team. And we're trying to pick up this huge truck. There's no way we can pick up the truck. But that's how men think. Men always think we can do everything. And so we're like, if we get enough dudes, we can pick up this 5-ton truck. You know, and so we're out there just, and we're all straining and grunting and grinding. But nothing happens, of course. And then Cam looks over and says, "Well, preacher, I guess we got to pray." And so we laid hands on that truck, man, and we prayed for that truck because we got tired of waiting. And so we figured we're going to pursue through prayer. We laid hands on that truck and we prayed, and that sucker drove right out. Why? Because we prayed in the waiting. So that's one of the things that we need to focus on.
Romans 8:25-27, we often forget that we also have the Holy Spirit, and He prays for us. Like, that's pretty cool, like, that we are praying, but the Holy Spirit is also praying for us. It says, "But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness," so He helps us. "For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for." Have you ever been in that kind of situation too, in the waiting? You're like, "God, I really don't even know what I need to pray. Like, I don't even know, but I need You." Well, this is cool. "But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will.
The second thing we got to do, so the first thing we got to pursue, the second thing we got to do is maintain, but we are maintaining something specific, right? So whenever we maintain, we need to maintain two things that I wrote down. There's probably more, but maintain your character and your composure. Maintain your character and your composure in the waiting. I think what happens a lot of times is I see people in the waiting process. Gabriel, you don't understand. I've been waiting for 17 years. I've been waiting for 20 years. I've been waiting for 5 minutes, right? And they begin to lose their character. They begin to lose the things that God has put inside of them. They begin to lose their composure and they act like a fool. And then how is God going to be able to bless us whenever we instantly lose our character and our composure? I was telling some of the Alabama fans this morning. And so I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to get embarrassed and leave church as usual. Yes, it was Jay. And so I was telling them one of the things I noticed is yesterday Alabama won, big win. But the week before they played the powerhouse Vanderbilt and lost, right? And, they didn't win that game. It was a loss on the record. But one of the things I thought was interesting is, and it's always funny in a loss, for real, this is being for real, this is being spiritual. It's always funny in a loss, like if you look at what the fans are saying in a loss that they weren't saying in the wins. As soon as they lose a game, there was fans calling into Feinbaum saying, I can't believe that coach wore a t-shirt on the sidelines. As though if he had a collar, they would have won the game. The collar makes the players play better, but that's not true. And then they were calling in. They were mad because he wasn't yelling and cussing and spinning and ranting and raving. They said, he needs to be madder. He needs to show more emotion. And I got to thinking about it. And later I saw an interview with Coach DeBoer. And one of the things they said was, one of the guys, the reporter said, Coach, you didn't show enough emotion in the game. What do you say to that? And the coach looked at him like he was an idiot. And he said, do you really want me to lose my composure over one game? Do you really want me to throw all of that away over one game? Now, he had a player out on the field that lost his composure, and everybody was mad. All the Bama fans were mad at the player for losing his composure, but they were mad at the coach for not losing his composure. Now, that shows Alabama fans, but
not in the notes, okay?
What I want you to realize is we can't, in the waiting, because waiting is disappointing sometimes. Waiting is disappointing. When we were trying to do something better for our church, and you know, I go and meet with some folks and then I don't get a call back for 7 weeks. In that waiting, there's disappointment, right? But I can't lose my composure and I can't lose my character. I can't dive into sin. And so one of the characters that can teach us this in the Bible is a lady named Sarah. The Bible says Sarah and Abraham were very old, and God promised them a child, and Sarah just couldn't see how it was going to work. She couldn't figure out how it was going to work. And so Sarah, in the waiting, loses her character and her composure, and she goes and gets her servant and tells her servant to sleep with her husband so that she can have a child through her servant. That was not what God wanted. That was not God's will. Now, one interesting thing I see is that Sarah still couldn't derail the will of God, but she made life a lot harder for herself and her family. And so we've got to remember not to lose our composure and lose our character in the waiting.
Psalms 27:14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And I was thinking about that. Even the part in the waiting to be brave and courageous. Like I think of someone that's brave, they're holding their head up. They're standing up straight. They're not going around, woe is me, God hasn't answered my prayer. Yes, I realize we do have those moments where we're discouraged and it's hard. But be brave, be courageous, hold your head up, keep going, keep fighting the fight, but wait patiently.
Mm-hmm. The third thing is, so we've got to pray, we've got to pursue God through prayer, we've got to maintain our composure, our character. The third thing is we've got to invest. And Perry's got a great point on this, and I'm going to let her talk in just a second. But a couple of things that we want to invest in. We need to invest in ourselves, in our system, first of all. And what I mean by that is we ask God for a promotion, and we say this a lot around here, but we don't ask God to help us to be promotable, right? We want God to promote us. We want the relationship. We want the thing, but we're not asking God to help us be the kind of people that can handle the promotion, the relationship, or the thing. And so it's important that we learn to invest in ourselves. And by investing in yourself, it doesn't mean that you go out and buy new clothes and, you know, you cut your hair, although maybe those things would be good. But it's investing in your own spiritual life. Look at your own character. Are there some flaws? Are there some areas? You know, if you want that promotion, but you can't wake up and get to work on time, then that's an area you need to invest in yourself. Invest in an alarm clock, right? Like you invest in some things that help you, that'll get you going. And one of the ones I wrote in here was, we can't ask God to give us provision without sewing up the holes in our purse. The Bible talks about having a purse with holes in it, and I know, gentlemen, we don't have purses, but we got pockets, and I don't know if you've ever had a pocket with a hole in it. And you go and put money in there, and all of a sudden you're walking along, and there goes your quarters dripping out the bottom of your pants, right? And so we got to make sure that we're sewing that stuff up. We can't ask God for a raise, and we can't ask God for checks in the mail and gifts and surprises and all the things that we may ask God for if we don't have a budget for which those things can work through. One of the things I think is a blessing to our church, honestly, is having a trustee team, a finance team of guys that are business owners and they understand business and money. Having Eric over here, who's a CPA, that comes alongside me and helps me with a budget. It's no coincidence that whenever we had a good trustee team and we had a CPA helping us with a budget, that all of a sudden our finances begin to increase at the church. Why? Because we've got a purse that doesn't have holes in it, and God can trust us with what he wants us to have. And so it's good to invest in yourself and in your system. The Bible says that Noah was asked to build a boat. Most scholars don't know how long it took him to build the boat, but they feel like it was somewhere between, this is a big range, 50 and 120 years. It's a long time to be building a boat. Let's just call it 70 years, right? My dad just turned 74 this week. Can you imagine your entire lifetime just building a boat? Like, that's just one job that you're doing. But the Bible says it wasn't until the boat was finished that the first raindrop fell. God's not going to bring the rain until the boat is done. Noah wasn't waiting on God. God was waiting on Noah. And maybe the blessing that you think you're waiting on God for might be God waiting on you to invest in yourself and in your systems. And another thing.
And one more thing I was thinking of when we were planning this out was also invest in your faith. Like, that should be a constant thing while you're waiting, is to not just sit and yes, you know, invest in those things. Make sure that you physically are ready and emotionally and all the things, but invest in your faith. And that's why I told you to write down these scriptures. I was thinking, like, memorize scripture. That builds your faith. Pray the scriptures. There's so many times when I'm praying and I am waiting for something, like Psalms 27:14, you could say, God, I'm waiting for you. I'm asking you, help me be brave and courageous. I'm waiting for you. Or you might say, God, I don't know what to pray, but I know that your Holy Spirit is praying for me. Those are prayers that are rooted and grounded in scripture. But if you're not investing in yourself now or in the waiting, you're not going to know how to pray those. So pray scriptures, memorize the scriptures so that you can pull from them, you know, whenever you feel like you're in a waiting spot. Also, whenever you're investing in your faith, you're also learning more about God. And that sounds so simple, but when you know God, when you truly know him and his character, you know that even in the waiting, that God, you have a plan for me. I know you're not just being mean, but you really love me and you want the best for me and you want the best for my family or you want the best for my friends. It kind of changes your perspective on how God is and then how he views you and the people around you. You kind of know his heart more. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Sometimes we were talking about in the waiting, we were thinking about different times where you have to wait, like jury duty or in line for a roller coaster. It makes waiting nicer when you have a friend with you most of the time, unless you're like, want to be by yourself. But sometimes I'm fine sitting in my car waiting by myself, you know. But, you know, like, it makes the time go by faster too, right? If you have a buddy to talk to or someone to share the experience with. And God wants to be ultimately that source. And the Holy Spirit he's given to us. But also as a body of Christ, tell your friends, you know, someone else that loves the Lord, hey, I'm waiting for this prayer. I'm believing for this promise. And let them wait with you. Let them pray and encourage you along in your waiting season. So James 4:8 says, come close to God and he will come close to you. He always, always does.
The last thing is this, is we have to learn to submit. And I think this is the hardest part. It's the easiest part to say. There's a verse that I quote a lot, and we see it on a lot of coffee mugs and T-shirts. But it's one of those. It's one of those that, like, if you don't understand the context, if you don't understand the reality of it, then you can just say this, and it doesn't mean anything. It's very difficult, though, in reality. And that is Proverbs 3:5: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. If we could emphasize one word, I would emphasize the word all. I think most of us, myself included, would say, I trust the Lord. But do we trust him with all our heart? Do we trust him with every single thing? Do we trust him completely? Or do we just trust him with the things that we feel like he might be able to do? Do we trust him with the things that we feel like we could probably do, but we just want to delegate to God? Right? But we got to trust him with every single thing. And that's very difficult. That's very difficult to do. One of the things that hit me when I was reading a couple weeks ago, I think it was, is I was reading through the story of Mary. And it really stands out to me that whenever Mary, the mother of Jesus, whenever the angel comes to her and he says, hey, I know you're a kid, basically, but you're about to have a baby. And not only are you about to have a baby, you're about to have the baby. Like, you're about to have the Son of God. This is what's being produced in you. This is what's happening through you. This is a big appointment for Mary. This is a big deal for Mary, for God to be able to speak this to her. And at first, she's very apprehensive about it, if you read the story. But then all of a sudden, she says two things that just really stood out to me. I wrote these in my journal. She says, I am your servant. Let it be unto me. She had to be willing to submit and trust God in the appointment. And I think sometimes that can be challenging, right? It can be challenging to submit and trust in the appointment. But then there's another side to Mary's story that I think is huge, is that we also have to be willing to submit and trust God in the disappointment. Because that same baby that she gave birth to was the same baby that was on the cross dying for all of our sins. And the Bible says that Mary was at the foot of that cross watching her son die. But she still trusted. She never wavered. She still waited on the promise. Right? She was fully submitted. And I think for us, we have to be willing to trust God in the appointment as well as trust him in the disappointment. And for some of us today, there's going to be times that the message so far is going to sound really good and you're writing everything down and you're saying, I'm going to submit and I'm going to maintain and I'm going to pray and I'm going to do all these things. But we're expecting the yes, or we're expecting the yes but not yet. But none of us expect the no. But I'm going to tell you, he says no a lot. Because sometimes we ask according to our will. We don't ask according to his will. And so there's times when he really does have to shut the door. And we've got to be willing to thank God, to trust God, to submit to God, even when the door closes, not just whenever it's opened.
One of the examples I had, I remember it very vividly. I'm not going to talk about this every single time I get up here, but when my dad got very sick, you know, we were praying and praying and praying for his healing, and there wasn't a whole lot of waiting. We had 4 weeks from when he got sick to when he passed away, but I do remember very vividly praying for my dad and for his healing, and I remember sitting in my sister's childhood room at my mom and dad's house, and I remember the Lord saying, you're going to have to trust me. And, of course, in my mind at the time, I was like, you know, God's going to answer my prayer. You know, he's going to heal my dad and all these things. But he didn't in the way that I wanted. The answer was no for on this earth, but yes, in its eternal healing. But I remember after that, and I'm going to read a scripture that I have, but the Lord so clearly spoke to me and said, I love your dad more than you do, and I love your mom more than you do, but I'm also thinking about you, and I'm thinking about your siblings. I'm thinking about the whole picture, not just your perspective. And I think about Isaiah 55:8-9. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, you know, I think mine are pretty good most of the time. It's a joke with us.
She thinks she's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I joke all the time. I'm like,
she thinks she's my personal Holy Spirit.
There's a Trinity, and then there's Perry in Gabriel's life. But it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. You know, we think we know. We think we know the best, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And, you know, sometimes that's hard to grapple with because we want the now and we want what makes us feel good and something we can celebrate. But man, there's so much peace in knowing, God, you know. Like, it kind of takes the pressure off. Like, to say, you know what? Not a give up. Like, yeah, I'm submitting to you. But yeah, I'm submitting these plans to you. Like, I'm submitting the answer to you. Like, I'm okay with whatever you say. That scripture really encouraged me in that his perspective is just different than mine. And I have to be okay with that.
You know, when we got this building, we tell the story a lot, but when we got this building, the people that owned it at the time kept denying every offer that we made, they turned down. And really, honestly, the one offer that we made that they accepted, they ended up coming back and saying, oh, no, sorry, we can't do that. And so they kept asking me over and over and over. I kept getting phone calls and text messages. Just make us another offer. Make us another offer. And I got really tired of it. And I remember sitting down with our finance team and I said, guys, here's the deal. I mean, I'm sick of this. Can we just make a ridiculous offer? Like, can we just make them an offer that we know they'll refuse and maybe they'll just leave us alone? And I said, we'll be happy in their little building over at Tin Valley, and we'll just make it work, you know? And so we made the ridiculous offer, and it's just like Perry's saying, that there's this place of just submitting something to God. We made an offer, and I call it ridiculous, but it's one of those things that you put something out there, it's almost like a fleece. You put it out there, and you think, the only way this is going to happen is if it's God. And it's when you've truly put it in God's hands. It had nothing to do with how much money we had in the bank. That's my hands. It had nothing to do with my great interviewing skills of talking to the people here. That was in my hands. It had everything to do with, I'm going to put this in God's hands. And all of a sudden, as soon as I put it in God's hands, it was like this wave of peace just came over me. I honestly forgot about the place. And they didn't call me back for like 5 months to say that they accepted the offer. But it was this place where I was just able to turn something over. And I think for all of us in the room today that are waiting, those of you find yourself in a waiting place, really learning how to submit and trust God with everything, when you really do it, I think you're going to find a place where you can have peace. As a pastor, we had a similar situation the other day where I had to turn something over, but it was something that for weeks I've just been mulling over and thinking over and working on, and my brain was just working overtime. I know you don't think that could happen to me, but my brain's very small. It works a lot. I'm like a short person running a mile. My legs are just woo. And so my brain was working so hard, and all of a sudden I was able to find the place and the time and the action to be able to turn everything over to God. And as soon as I did, I texted Perry. She was at work, and I said, all of a sudden, I have peace. I think I need a nap. Right? Like, it was like that kind of, I didn't take a nap. I don't do that. But it was that kind of peace that just hit me, and it was like all of a sudden, everything just relaxed. And I think for some of you, I want you to have that same feeling. But you can't have it until you submit everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We've got two more scriptures, and then we're going to close with prayer. So I'm going to let Perry share the one that it really stood out to her, and I'm going to share the one that stood out to me.
Sometimes I feel like we forget that we can talk to the God that created the universe. You know, like that God that created all of us and created the trees outside and created the sky and the solar system. We get to talk to Him. And Isaiah 40:26 through 31 says, look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by name. Because of His great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord doesn't see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. I cannot say that, weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
That's good. That's really good. My verse is a lot shorter than that. The one that stood out to me, and this is one that I've just been chewing on for a while, and this one I feel like is scattered throughout my journal over the last couple of months, but it's Galatians 6:9, and it says this: let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. For me, the part that stood out was in due season. There's this place of sowing and reaping in the kingdom of God. And the thing about sowing and reaping is we always want to reap immediately. We think, maybe you don't, maybe you guys are just, I'm sure you are way better at this than I am. I struggle with this. I feel like as soon as I say the prayer, I'm going to turn around and there the answer is. As soon as I sow the seed, I'm going to go to bed and wake up and the plant's going to be growing, producing fruit. Perry's got an aunt that lives in Florida and she grows fruit trees, lemons and mangoes and oranges and all the things. And one time we went to her property and we're looking at the fruit trees and it's one big tree and it's there. And I said, why does this one not have any fruit? Is something wrong with it? She said, oh no, it's only 3 years old. Like it's been like this for 3 years. She said, but this one doesn't grow fruit until after the 3-year mark. And I was like, man, you got to have a lot of patience to grow fruit. And I think we want that promise. We want that answer now. In our relationships, in our families, in our jobs, in our ministry, we want the answer now. But there's this place where we have to wait for the due season. But there's a season coming, and in that season, we will reap if we don't grow weary. Why don't you stand up with us today? Our prayer team's going to come down to the front and we're going to pray and we're going to end the service like we normally do. And again, as we do, as we begin to close this thing out, I do want to say just again from mine and Perry's hearts, it sounds so cheesy and so fake, but I love you so much. I really do. And I love doing this. And I don't know that I would ever get offered to go anywhere else or do anything else, because I don't think I would ever want to go anywhere else or do anything else. This is my favorite thing. I think about you all the time. I think about this church all the time. I love to preach, and I'm disappointed if I preach a message and I feel like nobody got it because I think I've wasted your time. I want to be a blessing to you, and I love you a lot, and I thank you so much for Pastor Appreciation and all that goes with it. And Perry feels the same way. She has to share me with you, right? And so there's nights when I come home and I'm still working on church, and it's supposed to be our time. And so I'm learning how to disconnect, but she has to share me, and we do that, and we love you so much. With all that being said, I just knew I had to get that out before we get to the end. We've talked a couple of things. We've said you need to pray in the waiting. We've said you need to submit in the waiting. We've said you need to maintain in the waiting. We've said you need to invest in the waiting. Today we're going to offer you a time of prayer, and there may be some of you that are in the waiting. And one of those four areas is an area of weakness for you. If that's you today, go ahead, prayer team can come on down. If that's you today, I want you in just a second to slip out of your seat, and I want you to come down and let someone pray with you. There may be some of you today, though, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You come to church, you put on the clothes, you say all the things, but really, you don't have a relationship with Christ. Can I encourage you this morning to invest in your faith? Invest in your faith. And listen, in due season, you'll reap a reward. Your family will reap a harvest because you've chosen to invest in your faith. How do I invest in my faith? I submit my entire life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Peter speaking, he says, you need to believe that he is your Lord and your Savior, right? He's both. He's the one that cleanses us of our sins, but he's also the one that we submit to and we follow each and every day. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to sing one more song.